When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Welcome to the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing the reality of God's Word to all people everywhere. Stay tuned as Joshua Daniel challenges us to a walk with God and the corresponding impact that'll have on our lives, families, and society today.
Let us turn to Acts 12 chapter, please. Now about that time, I'm beginning at the first verse, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, the feast of the Passover, recalling and bringing to mind, commemorating their deliverance from Egypt. When he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was in prison, kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, praying for the impossible. Apparently impossible. Now, the church took up the challenge and began to pray. Today, prayer, of course, has become some of those cant words, jargon, Christian jargon. Oh, let us pray about it. What does it mean? Let's do nothing about it. But for the early church, prayer meant praying, taking hold of God. And the angel of the Lord woke Peter in prison. Seventh verse. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Now, of course, these are real physical, real chains, metallic chains, and they fell off. But that is a picture of the miracle that Jesus does deep in your soul. Now, I have no explanation for that miracle. The chains fall off. That's all it is. Now, if you want to take a metallic saw or metal cutting saw and get to work on it, my dear friends, you may eventually break a physical chain, but never a spiritual chain. You see, we are not dealing with the spiritual chains that anchor people so that they come to a retreat, they want to do something, they want to move, but after a while you'll find that they are anchored there. They're stuck there. The chains have not fallen off. The miracle. You see, this is something which I am trying to get across. Some time ago, a very wicked politician came to power and brought in a law saying, anybody who is baptized both the baptizer and the one who is baptized will be put in prison. Severe sentences, rigorous imprisonment. Now, of course, our retreat came by. Normally, about 500 people get baptized during the period of the retreat. They said to me, what are we to do? I did consider moving the baptismal service to a neighboring state where this law does not apply. But then I said, go ahead, we'll face the consequences. So the law had been passed, but we went ahead baptizing those that were transformed. We don't baptize everybody. Have the chains fallen off? Has the Spirit of God done His work? Have the hidden sins been confessed and put away? Has God spoken? Then comes baptism. So, my dear friends, you may say you're beleaguered, you're kind of sidelined, and a subspecies or a subculture has taken over. Mark you, let them not parade as normal people. They are not. They are not. They are a subculture, a queer subculture, out to destroy family life, which is already falling to pieces in Britain. Are we not to withstand that? Are we not to reverse the laws? Are we not to pray and prevail? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? My dear folks, you know, when your moral spine gets to be buttery, then you won't be able to do anything. But this is the time for us to cry to God. Open the eyes of people. We will love all people. You see, they may try to say this is a hate crime. No, we don't hate anybody. God loves the sinner. But judgment also awaits the sinner who defies God's laws, who persists in defiance. So we are going to declare that as well. God loves you, man. You're parading with pink hair. Okay, parade all you want, but God loves you, and God has deliverance for you. Let it be known, dear friends, that it is a myth for anybody to say, I was born that way. No. There is an animal instinct I have found which makes homosexuality a kind of alternative to fornication and adultery. And so it has a strong appeal for many people whom I have had to counsel. But the Lord delivered them. They were out of that gutter. They were free. The chains fell off. Now mark you, my dear friends. So it must be pointed out and very plainly. Now this is a perversion which you have chosen as a lifestyle. And you can be free from it, and the Lord Jesus can set you free from it if you so desire. And surely there must be a lot of frustrated people. You know, you can't imagine that. Now, you cannot say God made them male and female, and it was a purposeless division. No, you daren't say that. So, friends, when the early church had to face this level of persecution. They were a praying church. And today, I don't think we can call ourselves a praying church. My dear people, there is a work for Jesus none but you can do. And so, here is this praying church. And when the angel had delivered Peter, and he was safely out of the prison precincts, 11th verse, please. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Mark you, this was the middle of the night. Peter was fast asleep, and the angel had to wake him. And the angel smote Peter on the side. What a hefty blow, I don't know. Say, "Come on up, you man. This is no time to sleep." So this was the middle of the night. And what was this group of people doing? Many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not because she got so excited, but ran in and said, "Peter stood before the gate." But they wouldn't believe her. They opened the door at last and saw him, and they were astonished. And he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place, because the church was praying. Let us pray. Let us tell God, "Lord, let there not be any hidden sin that brings defeat into my life and shame to your holy name and death in the camp. A church that is asleep, let us tell God, Lord, we don't want to be a church which is fast asleep. Have mercy upon us. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen."
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would be delighted to hear from you. Please write, and if you have burdens you want to share and want prayer, do let us know. You can reach us on the World Wide Web at lefi.org, or else you can mail us at The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 14, South Lyon, Michigan 48178, or in Canada, P.O. Box 31002, Windsor, Ontario, N9G2Y2. We are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, and we appreciate and we need your continuing prayerful support.